broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
I'm praying that Dina finally gets on the same page.
First saved message received August 7th.
I would like to recommend that now that...
Hey, guys. Hate to be a buzzkill.
I forgot he was black tonight, huh?
World famous Phil Hendrick show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this here show, and we take you through the looking glass and beyond. We go places other talk shows wish they could. Every night here. And our website, of course, the big right arm of the Phil Hendrick show at philhendrickshow.com. Right now, we have live streaming video and audio. You've heard of our show. You know what we do. So you got to watch it as well as listen to it. Go over to philhendrickshow.com right now and get a backstage pass. Take a look at our show, and we've got some great announcements to make in terms of classic CDs that we're going to be making available for sale. All of our downloads are over there. We've got our classic Phil podcasts that are available. We've got our daily podcasts. We have our uncensored rants. It's there at philhendrickshow.com. Now, our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're going to start off tonight talking about these debt collection agencies. And we did a story like this not too long ago for you. We're going to kind of revisit this. Debt collection agencies and the people they work for, and you and I, the people that are oftentimes harassed by them. Lloyd Bonafide and Bob Green will both join us this evening. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, San Diego's KFMB 760 AM, and in Marion, Carbondale, Illinois, WINI 1420 AM. That is part of the network, the Phil Hendrick Show. Would you do me a favor and make that font bigger, man? Because, you know, I realize that I don't have the groovy-ass, carrot-eating eyes that young people have. But, dude, I can't even read this garbage. So put it up there so I can see it, okay?
You want me to message him?
No, I'm saying it on the air, all right? You know, I know KFMB, and I know KFMB for a long, long time, but I'm sitting there going, God, I hope to God they're at 760, because I don't know whether that's a 6 or an 8. Put it up there, man, so that a man that reads for a living, which is what I do, can see it, brother. All right? Yeah. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Is the number. Bank fires collection agency after operators caught using racist, obscene phone calls to collect debts. 2 days after being confronted by ABC News, Bank of America has fired a debt collection agency after several of its operators were caught using racist and obscene phone calls to collect debts from bank customers. Alan Jones is a customer of B of A, and he received a jury award of $1.5 million. After receiving a number of racist phone calls from these jackasses that run this debt collection agency, here's one of the voicemails.
First saved message received August 7th at 8:08 p.m.
Hi, my name is Jamal Smith, and I'm looking for some watermelons. I would like to be interested in your watermelons. I'm also interested in a couple of slaves. Maybe you can go ahead and pick some of my cotton fields. Maybe you would like to wage at least, maybe what is it, like 2 cents per minute? Wait a minute. How about 2 cents per day? Just go ahead and give me a call to lick my...
Now, just so you know, some of these cats are right out of prison, and maybe they want to go back. They're right out, seriously, somebody, not all of them, but some of them are right out of prison, operating as the supervisors. Maybe they're just anxious to get right back into that cage again. Here's another call. The debt collector using racial slurs against this gentleman, Alan Jones.
Next message.
I'll go pick some of my own cotton field. All right.
So there you have it. That's, I don't know. But as I said to you guys the last time we did this story, I've been to these debt collection agencies, the physical plant where these places are. And they have bars on the windows, and they have doors that are like 85 inches thick of reinforced steel. And it's almost as if they're expecting an army, which, you know, maybe they ought to because of the way that they talk to people. On the line with me is Robert Green from Fraser Foods. And your company, Bob, like a lot of companies, you extend credit to people, and you use debt collection agencies. You listen to these phone calls. You listen to the accusations that were made. I mean, this stuff is, it gets you hot under the collar, doesn't it?
Well, there's no excuse for it. There's absolutely no excuse for any company, especially one as big as Bank of America, which can certainly afford to use a service that is professional, that is, an aggressive, obviously applies an aggressive technique, because we are talking about collecting debt, but there is no excuse for a company that is as big as the Bank of America to use it, this kind of thing. It is. I agree with you. I think that if it comes out that some of these people are recently released from prison, I'd be completely in favor of them going back, if this is the kind of way they conduct themselves.
But, of course, there are supervisors, and there's a company there. This ACT is the name of this company. It is. Are you familiar with them?
I don't know that company, too. We use a company called Financial Reclaim, and we Financial Foundation of Reclaim, and we're very happy with them. They don't resort to that kind of thing. They are inventive, but that doesn't mean you have to be insulting.
This company is called ACT, and that stands for something jive-ass. It sounds to me like it's Advanced Call Center Technologies. They're in Philadelphia. And they provide collection services for a number of major corporations. The thing that blows my mind is that Bank of America was not going to act on these complaints, even though there had been a lawsuit filed and there was a damages awarded. They weren't going to act on these complaints until they were confronted by ABC News.
Well, I don't know. I'm not familiar with that part of the story. I will tell you this. It's a little disappointing to see a news media truck show up on your doorstep, because if you were in the position that I'm in and that Mr. Moynihan is in and other people that run companies, you know that when you see a media truck on your doorstep, that doesn't mean that they're there to get the truth about a story. What that generally means is they are there to slander you, to run your name through a ringer, to smear you with every kind of filth.
So you don't have any faith or trust at all in the media. They were the ones that brought this story to the attention of B of A, and then B of A fired them.
Yeah, that's, I'm sure, what ABC wants you to believe, and I'm sure that's the feather in the cap that ABC is wearing today. Hey, look at us. We got Bank of America to fire a company because two of the employees or three of the employees were making watermelon jokes. I think.
Well, you don't want to be associated with something, even if it was two or three, you know?
If it's two or three or four, you're right. They should be fired. But I think you should give Mr. Moynihan the credit of being able to make that decision instead of having someone with 3 pounds of makeup on their face from ABC coming in with a microphone and bleached teeth and pretending like they're reporters. I just have a personal, again, this is just a personal issue that I have with it.
Tell me about, all right, so you're not really a big fan of the media.
We feel if given half the chance, we can police our own industry. 9 times out of 10 when the media gets involved, they misreport, they get it backwards, they make it look as if there are larger problems than there are.
Tell me about what you use, because what I really want to talk about here, and with my audience, and our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. What I really want to talk with you about is the experience of debt collection, as you know it, as a debt collector or the entity that they're working on behalf of, and me and my listeners, you know.
Well, you own a company though, Phil. So
yeah, but I'm not. I don't deal in transactions that are of such a large amount that I have to send debt collectors after them. Generally, it is the credit card company that does that.
Well, again, but you work, you have a company, so don't separate yourself too much from the rest of us.
What's the name of the company you use?
We use a company called Financial Foundation and Reclamation, and here is why I like them. They do not engage in any kind of deplorable behavior vis-a-vis language. They don't use racist terms. They're not there. They are aggressive, and sometimes they're going to use aggressive terms. It doesn't mean that they're entitled to be racist.
What do you call aggressive?
Well, they're allowed, and I think they're allowed by law, to say things like, you don't want to look like a welfare mother, do you? Why don't you pay your bills? That kind of thing. Now, that's not racist. It might be a little strong. They're allowed to say, you don't, you know, are you a deadbeat? Don't you pay your bills? Or that kind of thing. Again, there's nothing racial about it. We're not talking about age. We're not talking about gender. We're not talking about sexuality. But one thing that the Financial Foundation does that I do like, they use a technique that I think gets right to the heart of it. And we generally get results when they say that what happens, and they're talking to someone that owes money.
Okay.
And they'll say, what happens if you are to die this week or next week? Your children have to pay that debt. So they go right to the heart of the person who owes the money. And they say, you may die tomorrow or you could die in 2 days. And what are you going to do if your children have to? And that somehow gets to people and they pay off.
And all right, now I could hear that, and I'm not saying that this is what it is. I could hear that, and I could say, well, you could die tomorrow, and that would sound a little threatening to me.
Well, it might. It might sound threatening to some people. I don't think it should.
It might sound to me like you're threatening to harm me.
No, well, that's not what I'm doing. I'm saying, but if that's what people think,
Do you mind if people think that way?
Well, as long as they don't go to the police and say I threatened them, because I didn't threaten them. The company that works for me didn't threaten them. What they said was, you know, if you die tomorrow or you die in 2 days, you die next week, your kids are going to assume this debt. Is that what you want? You want to die and leave this debt to your family because you don't know what can happen.
And you're saying that that is simply a way of saying to them, be responsible.
That is correct. Some people think, you know, they may get a little nervous. I can't control what people think. They think what they want. But if it is not a threat by any means. But if somebody is hearing that and thinking that they are being threatened, that they're going to die if they don't pay their bills, and that gets them to pay their bills, then I think that's a good thing.
But what if they went to the police? This is all I'm asking. If you're using a company that says that, you know.
Well, if they go to the police, I simply say to the police, the company says to the police, all we said was, be responsible. You could die tomorrow. You could die next week. Pay your bills. And the police will generally send that individual packing, not packing, but they'll generally, thank you very much, but we just heard from the company they didn't threaten. You know, sometimes you'll have people say that. I got threatened by this company. They said, what if I die in 2 days? And the police will say, did they threaten to kill you? And they said, no, but they're saying that if I die, and they keep saying 2 days, 2 days, 2 days, my kids are going to have to pay the bills. And the police, being, I think, pretty smart, will say, well, did you pay? And I say, yeah. So that's the part, I think, Phil, that, you know, the main point is that they if they hear they owe money and they need to pay that money now, anything else they perceive to hear really is not responsibility. We're not lying. I mean, they could die tomorrow. But
you're not going to be the guy that's going to kill them.
Well, how do I answer that? If I say no, then they're going to think that I'm... there's no teeth. If I say yes, obviously I could be arrested.
So if I said to you, are you threatening their lives when you say you need to pay your bills, you could die tomorrow?
Thank you very much, Phil.
All right, Robert Green on the line with us. See, we're talking about debt collection, and what are they allowed to say, what aren't they allowed to say? Bob Green uses a company called Financial Foundation and Reclamation. They don't use any racist terms. They don't use any insulting terms. Sometimes they say welfare mother, but what they do say is you could die in 2 days, and your children will be left with your debt. Some people have taken that as a threat. Bob says they're not threatening people, but if they take it as a threat and it gets them to pay off, all the better. 877-876-PHIL. Collection agencies, how far can they go? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back. world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show here from the El Pacifico every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Robert Green from Fraser Foods is with us. Bob is not a debt collector. He does have a company, a grocery chain, whereby you do extend people credit, and you have had to, obviously, get the debt collectors on them. I want to hear a little bit more about the technique. We are talking here, by the way, folks, about a company called ACT. They've been fired by B of A. They've been sued. The person that sued them collected $1.5 million. We played some of the calls for you. They're absolutely unbelievably insulting and provocative and racist and the kind of thing you generally can get away with on a telephone, but not to somebody's face. And, Bob, your company doesn't do that. I understand that.
Absolutely not, Phil. I want to make it very clear. We do not in any way, shape, or form condone that kind of, and I agree with you, Phil. Anybody that would talk that way to someone to their face deserves to get a punch right in the nose, I think. But our company, a financial foundation, doesn't use any threats. What we do say is that you may pass on in a week, and then your children have to assume that debt. How does that make you feel? It's pretty simple.
But the unspoken thing here, and the only thing that I'm worried about, is it sounds to some people like a threat, like you may die. You don't exactly put them off of that sense.
You know, Phil, we have to find a way to get money collected. You understand that these are people that owe money. They haven't paid it. Now, how do I get them to pay that back? I can go to court, and I can get a judgment against them. That is going to cost me an enormous amount of money just so I can collect $20, $25, $30, $100. All right, that's number one.
But don't you get lawyer's fees?
I absolutely do get lawyer's fees, but here's the problem. If I'm suing an individual that can't even afford a $100 grocery bill, I'm not going to get any lawyer's fees out of that guy. It is much, much better if I can get the money from him. I don't want to use racism. I don't want to be insulting. If I leave the impression that his life is in danger, I haven't threatened him.
But you don't mind leaving the impression that his life is in danger?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Well, that's a pretty simple question. I mean, I could say that. You said that I have a business, you're right, that we have to collect, we do. But I can tell you right now I don't want to leave the impression with anybody that their life may be in danger. You could get sued.
Well, no, I can't. He's not going to sue me. First of all, he's dealing with a collection agency. They haven't threatened his life. They simply said, what happens if you die in 2 days and your children are left to assume your debt? I think what they're saying is something that is very real and very profound, and I think any responsible person would respond to that.
So you don't see that you're doing anything unethical so much as you're just leaving certain things unsaid?
I don't even say that we're doing that, Phil. I am telling you that we do not engage in any of the conduct that ACT engages in. We don't call anybody a jigaboo, I don't know what he used.
No, he didn't say use the N-word.
Well, all right, well, we don't use the N-word, we don't use jigaboo, and we don't insult.
All right, I understand. 877-876-PHIL. Let me get to some phone calls here. We're talking with Robert Green from Fraser Foods, and their collection company does not get into the insult game, but there is some question here as to what that means. Here is Josh. Go ahead, Josh, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green.
Hey, Phil, I think Mr. Green needs to pick up and read some federal law books. The Federal Fair Debt Collections Act states that if I was to die tomorrow and owed somebody some money, if I didn't have anything to leave my kids are not owed the debt. The debt is null and void, whether he likes that or not.
That's federal. That is state by state. Have you read the
read
California
the Federal
law?
Fair Debt Collections Act. Get one of those researchers.
California state law says that
wrong,
your young
sir.
People can't. No, I'm right.
Sir,
I'm in business. What do you do? What do you do for a living? Do you work for a living, or do you just sit and read? Do you work? I own a company.
Well, I don't know
if you own a company or not. You're our wrong.
Yes, it does.
100%.
Yeah.
Read
no, I'm not.
The law. Read
well, I may be wrong,
law.
But that's what they're saying.
Read
what do you
law.
Do for a living? What do you do, Josh? Josh, what do you do for a living?
He doesn't do anything. What?
I'm a commercial truck driver. I'm a professional driver.
Get a load of Vanderbilt. How about that? It doesn't make any difference what the law says. This is what the collection agency is telling people.
Well, then they're lying.
Well, That's not a criminal act, though, if they maybe miss, they're not calling.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and our website, philhendryshow.com. You can watch live streaming video of the show right now. Robert Greene from Fraser Foods has joined us. We're talking about debt collection, what his company does, what other companies do. Bank of America has fired a company called ACT, or they have discontinued their subcontracting with this company as the result of this company, ACT, a debt collection agency, hiring people that are using racist language, insulting language, and really deplorable language here, Bob. What you are telling me in the way you guys collect debt is that you don't use that kind of aggressive language, but you leave some things unsaid. It's almost as if you need to keep unsettling the person that owes the money in order to get them to pay.
Well, it depends on what you mean by unsettling people, Phil.
I mean, when you say you could die in a couple of days and then you heard what that man said, that the federal law, at least according to him, is not, federal law, at least according to that man, doesn't allow for the, for one's, I don't know, kids to assume debt.
Well, first of all, Phil, I thought it was interesting that this is the extent that people go to get out of paying back their debts. There's a guy that is sitting all day long in his apartment or in his house reading up on federal law and state law and all these regulations. How can I get out of paying what I owe? How can
no, he was quoting federal law.
Well, that may be, but let me tell you this much. I am contracting with a debt collection agency that simply is saying to people, if you're not responsible, what kind of a message does that send to your kids if you die within 48 hours? I think they do use a set time. That's the only way you could possibly say that what they're doing may sound, and I don't think it does sound threatening, but may sound threatening. They use, they will say to someone, we understand that you owe Fraser Foods a certain amount of money. What if you die within 72 hours? How does that make the kids feel?
And those people have come back to say, we feel as if we've just been threatened.
If that's what they think, then I suggest that they do something other than complain to me or the collection agency. I think that they should see a therapist.
There's an old saying, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean people aren't out to get you. Are you saying that they are assuming something that isn't true?
I'm not going to kill them, and the debt collection agency is going to kill them.
But they don't know. All they know is what they hear.
Mr. Hendry, we are using as benign a tactic as possible in trying to get deadbeats to pay their bills. We're not calling anybody the N-word. We're not calling anybody, spook or whatever the words are that you...
I think we know all of the epithets. We don't have to hear them.
All right, but we're not using any of that language. I would appreciate if you don't talk to me as if I'm out there calling a guy, hey, Jigaboo, why don't you pay your...
All right, I've already heard you use that word three times, sir.
I apologize, but I'm not saying that. I'm saying we'd like you to pay up. If you were to, accidentally die within 72 hours...
All right, 877-876-PHIL.
It would redound negatively on your kids.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I can see how some people might feel unsettled by that. Here is Mike in Boston. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Phil, this is Mike in Boston. How are you doing tonight? First of all, to set Mr. Green straight, if I got a phone call from him or from his agency and the word death was anywhere mentioned in that, the following day, my attorney and the media would be on his doorstep because I would take that definitely as an implied threat against my life. Secondly,
When they start laughing at you, what do you do then?
I'd just hang up on them.
You hang up on your own attorney?
I would just hang up on them.
On your own attorney?
Well, there are deadbeats and there are deadbeats. A lot of people who owe money who can't pay it for a reason, like they're unemployed.
And I want to set the record. I'm not interested in that.
if you come into my store and you take something from me and promise to pay me and then you don't, all of a sudden I'm supposed to change the whole way business is done?
First of all, who am I speaking with? Am I speaking with Phil or am I speaking with Mr. Green?
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Chris. Chris, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
How you doing? I wanted to tell Mr. Green, I do a lot. I'm an attorney in Miami, and I've dealt with debt collectors many times.
What kind of law do you practice?
A commercial litigation. And let me just say for Mr. Green that the things that you're discussing are absolutely not allowed under the Fair Debt Collections Act. And
what am I discussing that isn't allowed, sir? What am I discussing that isn't allowed? I'm simply saying,
what happens if
your children see you as a deadbeat? You don't want that to happen, do you?
Okay. You ask me a question, and I'll answer it. The answer is this.
All right.
You cannot use harassing or threatening language with
That's
a debtor.
Threatening.
Sorry?
Not threatening. That's okay. Not threatening to say to someone, you don't want your children to see you as a deadbeat, do you? How's that threatening?
I actually agree with you that I don't think that that is a threat. Okay, but people, a lot of people who have called in think that it sounds like a threat. And besides that, you cannot lie to people. You cannot tell them inaccurate information in order to collect a debt. I have no problem people being aggressive in this economy, trying to get paid. It's very tough to get paid right now, and you have every right to get paid for your goods. But there are certain things
exactly.
I can't do.
If you're a lawyer, I'd like you to tell me something. If I say to someone, you don't want your kid, you don't want to die next week, and your kids see you as a deadbeat, I'm not saying that I'm going to kill him. I'm saying.
Yeah, but you said that they, within 70, they got to use the language.
Well,
you said within 72 hours.
They use that language.
They use that language so that it sounds like.
I have a good question for Mr. Green. Mr. Green, if it wasn't illegal, okay, to use racist language in debt collection, but you knew that it was extremely effective, almost 100% collection rate, would you condone a company using it?
Of course. Wouldn't you?
Okay, If it's legal,
you just used a very... You're a lawyer, okay? You're not a priest. You're not a nun. You're a lawyer, okay?
I'm also a human
and
being.
As a oh, I see. So you're going to start to lecture me about being a human being, or are you telling me the law? You just
I'm probably not the first person
who's
done
it. Well, I'll tell you, if you want to get into the human side of this argument, I think you and I are on equal ground. If you're talking law, you're the lawyer, so I'm going to say to you this, Mr. Lawyer. Yeah, of course I'd use it. And you'd tell me to use it. You'd defend me as a lawyer in a court of law. Wouldn't you?
I wouldn't, because I wouldn't defend a racist.
You wouldn't. In other words, I haven't broken the law.
I wouldn't.
That's what I'm saying.
I have a choice about a client.
Well, I don't know what kind of lawyer you are then. I don't know what kind of lawyer you are.
A good lawyer.
But if it was legal for me to say to a guy, and I would never... You see, understand something. As long as it's illegal, I won't do it. But if I need the money, and I got to tell some guy between you and me, look, you know, you jigaboo.
All right, I don't want to hear that, okay? I don't care if it's legal, illegal, or whatever. I don't want to listen to that.
What?
That's the reason I asked. The reason I asked wasn't so much because I thought that I was going to get into a legal argument with Mr. Green. The reason I asked was because I just wanted to elicit from Mr. Green that he is a racist, and it wasn't that hard to do.
Why did you assume that I'm a racist when I'm not using any racial terminology?
Because you enjoy
I'm telling people they're going to die in a week.
Because you enjoy using racist language.
No, I...
Yeah, because you use the term jigaboo and spook.
I said that as an example of what we won't do. And you gentlemen have taken it and turned it around, and I find that to be very untoward.
All right. Thank you very much for your call, Chris. 877-877. We're talking about debt collection and how far should these people, these debt collectors, go, and what are they allowed to do? The ACT company, which was collecting debts on behalf of Bank of America, was calling people, all kinds of things. We can play this one call back. I don't think we want to hear it again, where he's using the N-word and he's telling some guy how to sell watermelon and so on and so forth. 877-876-PHIL. screen about what his company does. You don't say that if it were legal, you would not use it anyway, but you're saying something else. You're saying, I like the impression given that these people think they're going to die if they don't pay me off.
I never said that. That is very unfair, Phil.
But you don't necessarily go out of your way to disabuse people of that notion. If they think, wow, it sounded like I was being threatened.
I am in the middle of a recession trying to get my debts collected. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. We're not allowed to say this. We're not allowed to say that. We're not allowed to go here. We're not allowed to go there. I'm the guy that's owed the money. I'm not the victim here. I mean, the people that are I meant that's a Freudian slip. I am the victim here.
And yeah, well, Freudian slip is Freudian slip. Are you the victim or not?
Yes. I am the victim. And the people are not paying me off, and I'm owed the money. And as a result of that, I get angry. And if someone says, did you just threaten me and tell me that I'm not going to live past next week? And if it makes me feel better knowing that they're out there nervous for their lives, what else do I get out of it? Do I get paid? No. Am I having my debts paid back? No. So what am I supposed to take from this at the end of the day? And you're telling me that I'm not even allowed to sit at home and feel a little warmer inside because someone feels like their life is on the line because they haven't paid Frazier first.
And you feel a little warmer about that.
Mr. Andre, I'm not saying I'm going to kill them. They owe me money.
877-876-PHIL. Moving on to another phone call. I know they owe you money. How's this get you your money? I don't know. Jack, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Robert Green.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to
address
a statement that Mr. Green made earlier. He said that he condones debt collectors on the phone telling people that if you die, then how are you going to feel because your children will be responsible for your debts? Well, that's absolutely contrary to very basic law. Debts are personal. Unless the children are liable on the loan jointly, they are not responsible for their parents' debts. So to say that is a total misrepresentation of the law.
Well, if I said that, and I don't...
Well, you did, and that's what that other gentleman was talking about
who
called in.
You said it several times.
I do recall saying the following thing. Aren't you going to feel bad knowing that your kids see you as a deadbeat after you're dead?
No. Mr. Green, you have a short memory. You said several times that you would say or condone people saying that if you die, your children are going to be burdened with your debts. You said it several times.
Mentally, emotionally.
No.
Well, no.
You said legally they would be burdened with your debts.
What did I say? I'm sorry, what did I say?
You said that, I'm not going to repeat myself 10 times.
But they would be burdened emotionally with the knowledge
You did not say that. You said that later, but earlier you said several times that if you die, your children are going to be responsible for your debts and have to pay them.
Exactly. That's right. I did.
Now, this gentleman is saying that's illegal.
That's absolutely an incorrect statement of the law.
Well, all right. But if it gets a guy, did I call him a racial? I didn't.
That's not the issue. The issue is you're misrepresenting the law, and you can't make misrepresentations as to the law to induce people to pay a debt.
Well, I try to get money back that is owed me. I'm not allowed to call a guy.
That's not the point, Mr. Green. The point is you're making misrepresentations to people about the law, and that's illegal.
I don't know that that's the case.
It is the case. I'm a lawyer, and it is the case.
You're a lawyer. Well, what do you say to the... You're telling me you represent some of these deadbeats?
I do not represent debtors. I'm a commercial and a tax lawyer, but I know the law in this area very well.
Well, in that area, meaning what, the city you're in?
The law...
You say this area. Do you mean the state you live in, or do you mean in this area of the law?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I'm saying, when you say you know the law,
I know the law
in this area.
Mr. Green,
this
is law.
Are you saying
law? This is law 101. A first-year law student learns this in law school. This is not rocket science.
Well, I can tell you that these people that don't want to be called, hey, why don't you go pick a watermelon? They don't want that.
That's not the point. You're just
the next best thing.
You are just You are just diverting the conversation because you know you're dead wrong in the water.
No, I do not know that.
Well, you are.
What I do know is that
you are dead wrong in the water.
I'm a businessman.
You're not a lawyer, are you? Are you a lawyer? Do you know the law?
Thank God.
No,
no, I have fun. No, thank God. No, I work honestly for a living. And I,
all right, let's not get like that, okay?
Well, this guy's getting that way with me.
You know, that's totally inappropriate.
I make an honest living.
And that's a totally inappropriate comment. I make an honest living, too. I make a very honest living.
And how do you collect money that's owed you?
Oh, I collect money from my clients who pay me for my services, just like
and
you
what
collect
about the
money
ones that don't?
From people who pay you for your services.
And what about the ones that don't?
And the ones that don't pay me, I write them off as bad debts and move on. But very few people don't pay me because I'm an outstanding lawyer, and I have very good clients who pay me because I save them money.
All right, now, you know what? Now you've made me mad.
Why?
I'll tell you why in a minute, but I want you to say two words for me. Lyle Lovett.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If you would not mind, would you please say the name Lyle Lovett?
No, I'm not.
What are you doing, Bob?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm just asking you to say the name Lyle Lovett or Lindsay Lohan.
Why?
Why?
Would you indulge me, Mr. Henry?
No, I'm not going to indulge you. We're not talking about that.
Boy, you let everybody walk all over me. I'm
look,
a guy that's owed money, and
you know,
let this
Mr.
guy
Green,
walk all over.
Let me tell you, Mr.
Yeah?
Green, I respect what you do. I respect that people need to be responsible for their debts. I don't represent deadbeats. I represent responsible clients who pay me for my services. I understand that you have a job to do. But at the same time, in doing your job, you can't make misrepresentations about the state of the law. That's not legal.
Well, all I can tell you is I got about five guys that do what you do. And they
what do you mean, do what
different.
I do? What do you know what I do?
I got
do?
Five
you
guys.
Know
I
what
got
I
five
do.
Guys.
I'm a tax lawyer.
You're a lawyer.
I'm a commercial
lawyer.
Yeah.
Right, you're a lawyer. I got five guys that know how to do what you do, and they tell me something different. So,
well, then maybe you ought to find another lawyer.
They tell
you know
me
what?
That, you know, there are ways of getting around these things. And,
well, let me tell you something. You can find
anybody
you want.
You know, you're talking
you
all this stuff, and I'm asking you to say Lyle Lovett.
Will you stop
Why?
With the Lyle Lovett?
Because I just want you to say Lyle Lovett.
I'm not going to say Lyle Lovett.
All right, I got to say.
What did you just did? You said what? You said Lyle Lovett, right?
I guess
say
I
it.
Did. Are you
say
happy?
Say it again. No, I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it.
Look, I'm going to let you go, Jack.
Okay.
Thank you very much, sir. Very good information that you provided. I appreciate it very much. What's with the Lyle Lovett?
That guy was swallowing his L's, and I had the most... I was so polite, I didn't say anything. Well, he's going, blah, blah, blah. And you didn't say anything. You let me get beat up. You let me get smacked around like Joe Pesci did that one guy in Casino, where he beat that guy.
All right, take it easy. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Linda Goldham. I'm a legal...
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. I know, Bob, you got a couple of points you want to make. I want to get in just one more caller here. Mark in Tucson. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, man, this guy's not extending his credit correctly. He's putting himself at risk. You know, he's got a business offering food products, and then he's getting people in debt. And so why do you extend the credit like that? Why are you putting yourself at such a risk?
I'm a businessman. I mean, we're in a recession, and people are hungry. Where are you living? Where do you live? We're in an economic downturn, and there's people that are hungry.
Right, and you're not extending credit correctly.
Next call.
No, not next call. Listen to the man.
So you put yourself at risk by extending
credit.
Why
don't you say Lyle Lovett? Well, wait a minute. Let me ask you something. So in other words, it's my fault that people owe money that they're not paying off. You must live on another planet, pal.
It's your fault because you put yourself at risk.
Yeah, it's my fault. It's my fault that I'm talking to you. Isn't it my fault?
You're going to pull your business license.
So you're not my fault that I'm talking to you
either, all right?
Well, you're going to have your phone cut off for non-payment before that ever happens to me, so what difference does it make? Now, Bill, I don't want to have to talk to another guy that swallows his L's, if you don't mind. Because
what do you mean?
Because that guy that was on before, I had to do battle with that guy while I'm listening to him with his speech impediment, and I'm not even allowed to get off a couple of cuties because you want me talking serious.
What guy?
The guy from Boston.
Oh, will you stop it with the swallowing L's?
That's what he was doing. I'm a lawyer, and I look legal. And why don't you go and lick it? Yeah, would you have liked it if he'd said that?
He did not say that, sir. And you know what? People swallow their L's sometimes.
Oh, do they now, huh? Why don't you lick it, Mr. Henry? Why don't you lick me?
All right, thank you. We'll be back with Lloyd Bonafide next to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.
Lindsay Lohan.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I like talking about people.
Quite honestly, I thought Sean Chapman Holly would be down here. Hey, guys. Hate to be a buzzkill, but shouldn't you guys be...
Hi, I'm Sarah McLachlan. Will you be an angel for a helpless...
you.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, of the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Now, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, through the looking glass and beyond. Our web address, philhenryshow.com, the right arm, the strong right arm of the Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, live streaming video of the show, live streaming audio, podcasts all over the world, man. We got podcasts coming out of you. We got podcasts coming out of everything. We got archives that are thousands and thousands of hours worth. We have our news feed. You can stay up to date on what's going on in Phil Land, man, by being a BSP. And also checking in with comments as well on our news feed. And things are going to get a lot hairier and heavier and crazier here in the months to come. So pick up a BSP at philhenryshow.com. Now, Lloyd Bonafide is going to join us this evening. Mr. Bonafide, a Korean War veteran, a man who is a retired heating and plumbing executive from Alhambra, California. We're going to talk to him in a moment about the commercials that you and I have both been seeing. And I asked the question before we went on the air of my producer. I think I got the answer. What is the name of the company that is putting on the air, the agency that is putting on the air, those commercials that feature those terribly abused animals? It's the ASPCA, the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. We'll be talking to Mr. Bonafide about that. 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-PHIL. And coming up next hour, of course, we will have our news hour as well, so join us for that. So if you are watching cable television, especially for any great length of time, if you're watching your favorite show, especially at night, you will see on occasion these commercials that air on TV for the SPCA, the ASPCA. And they are extremely wrenching. They show these animals that are have been terribly abused. The animals are obviously injured in some cases, and they're being carried out by rescue workers from God knows where. And we are asked to contribute. Here's a sample. Sarah McLachlan, who is the singer and songwriter, has contributed her efforts to them.
Hi, I'm Sarah McLachlan. Will you be an angel for a helpless animal? Every day, innocent animals are abused, beaten, and neglected, and they're crying out for help. Please, call the number on your screen and join the BCSPCA with a monthly
right.
gift right
the
now.
The BCSPCA.
For just $18.
So I knew that you guys were listening to something. What is the BCSPCA? You know what that is? That's Canadian. But in any event, Mr. Bonafide, you and I, we live in California, so we hear something a little bit different.
Yes, sir. Well, the commercial that I've heard is that young lady singing a different song. But nonetheless, it's the same tenor of commercial that I've heard her do.
And the commercial itself is a very wrenching, you mentioned. It also, I think, is extremely overdone. And when they play,
what do you mean by overdone?
They're playing the commercial all the time, and they, it's on every hour or so, and they play it, and they the general impression, you know, that you get is that you begin to ask yourself, am I an animal abuser? Because anyone that has ever had a dog or a cat, and the animal has stood in a doorway, or the animal has been in your way, and you move the animal out of the way, this commercial wants us to believe that, you know, that I hate it.
Well, the commercials that you and I are talking, everyone's familiar with these commercials. They're tough to watch.
Well, you said, Mr. Henry, that you turn it down.
I do. I have to tell you, I do. It's very hard for me to watch the commercial. Nobody, you know, it's like little children and cats and dogs. I mean, who are the innocent of this world who are abused?
Well, but they are, in my opinion, they're overdoing the message, because I consider myself to be an animal lover. And I consider myself to be a man who has enjoyed the company of domestic dogs, the dog and the cat. But I certainly am very, very offended by the idea that I abuse animals.
Well, no, who is saying that you abuse animals? How is this commercial saying that you abuse animals?
By the repetitive and redundant nature of these commercials, as they are being aired over and over and over again, they obviously interfere with the television programming that you're watching and will put you in a mood that is decidedly a negative mood. So that if I'm walking into the kitchen from our living room, as I did the other night, and we have a boxer dog that was laying across the doorway, and I kick it out of the way, my wife reacts as if I am a abusive, that I'm on that commercial.
And your wife reacted to you, what, kicking your dog?
I didn't kick my dog. I kicked it out of the way. There's a big difference between kicking an animal, Mr. Henry, and getting it to move.
Well, did you? How did you kick it? Did you just kind of nudge him?
I kicked it. I kicked it out. I got it out. And I love my dog. And we've had this boxer. Well, we had the mother for 2 years, and the mother finally got too old, and we had to have her put down, and she'd had the litter, and we've got this guy, Spark. His name is Spark, after the older brother that he had. And we've loved this animal for a long time.
But you kicked the dog. All right. But the whole point of what we're talking about right now is that these commercials, these SPCA commercials, which are being aired, right, have you in the mood to not want to donate to the SPCA?
Yes, sir. They've got, because they are now creating in me a resentment of the very animals that I want to say. I have, you know, because now they're making it seem as if because you take a cat or you take a dog and you throw it away from where you are to get it out of there, you're an animal abuser. If those Marines in Iraq who had those puppies and threw, I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, but they threw the puppies away from the battle area.
And well, what the way people saw that video, those Marines throwing those puppies into a ravine, was anything but helping those dogs.
I don't know. I wasn't there. But I have been in combat, and I have had a pet in combat. And when the Chinese in Korea, when I was in Korea, Phil, in 1950, and they finally had reached the Yalu River and they were on their way to the Chosin Reservoir, I had a dog. I had a, it was a beagle puppy. But when I heard that the Chinese had breached the Yalu, I threw the dog overboard. There's nothing. What are you going to do?
You took a dog and threw it overboard.
We were in a war zone. In a war zone. You understand that, correct?
Yes, sir. I just, the idea of taking a puppy.
Mr. Henry, when you go to war, you let me know, and then we'll talk about what you do with a puppy when you've got a half a million Chinese breathing down your neck. And so I am resentful of that Sarah McLagan woman and the commercials that she's doing, because she's basically saying that a normal relationship with an animal is cruel.
Well, I'll tell you, our number 877-876-PHIL, when you say you kick a dog out of the way, if you're nudging a dog with your foot...
I'm doing what every person in America does every day with their dog. They kick it out of the way. You know,
a full kick.
You know what I mean by a kick. I'm not kicking the dog to hurt the dog. I'm kicking it out of the way. And I've done it with cats. I don't know anyone that hasn't kicked a cat out of the way. So,
all right, 877-876-PHIL. Here is another part of these commercials we're telling you folks about. This is Sarah McLachlan or McLaughlin or whatever the hell her name is. And this is for the SPCA.
In the arms.
Oh, this is just the song?
See, this song to me is... I think it's a horrible sounding song.
Why do you say this is a horrible sounding song?
I know that everyone listening to that feels manipulated, they feel used, they feel as if they don't give money to the SPCA, that they're the worst people in the world. I think they've grown to resent violently these people that are canvassing for money for the SPCA by showing me a cat that has been beat up or dropped into a grease trap or something, or a dog that got beat. And I think we've got to get our heads screwed on a little bit about the dog, about the SPCA. I don't think there's anything wrong with the SPCA. By the same token, I will not be made to feel as if I am a criminal because I kicked my dog out of the way when I'm getting something done in the garage, and this mangy thing is laying there. I think it's very unfair.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. It all depends, sir, on what you mean by kick. You kick your dog out of the way, you nudge it with your foot, or you kick it. Which is it? The SPCA ads that have been on television, how are they affecting you guys? Are they making you resentful of the SPCA? Do you feel manipulated? Do you feel used? Do you feel, that you're being guilted into... Are you now finding that you don't like animals as much as you used to? Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And we're talking also with Lloyd Bonafide here, who's a retired executive in Alhambra. He's talking about how he now feels not all that well disposed towards animals because of the blind manipulation of the SPCA. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You've kicked the cat, haven't you?
Kick the can.
Oh, is that what it is?
Phil Hendry.
Phil, welcome back. And we have Lloyd Bonafide on the line with us. We're speaking with Mr. Bonafide tonight about the ASPCA, and by that I mean the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, and this is a campaign that they have on television, which is quite effective. It's very emotional. We do see these poor animals that are being abused. I don't know if any of you have seen the spots. I suspect you have. The commercial that my producer sent me is the British Columbia. What do you people watch in Seattle? Do you watch Canadian television? Is that what's going on? In any event, we have with us Lloyd Bonafide, who you have said, sir, your reaction to these commercials has been decidedly negative. Now, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that.
Well, again, you have to realize that I'm a United States Naval veteran of the Korean War. When I come back to the United States as a young man, I wanted to come back to a country that was going to be a sober and hardworking environment for human beings to excel and achieve in. And over the years, I've seen us indulge in things that one can scarcely imagine, until we've reached the point now where I take a cat and I throw it into the backyard, and I'm now a criminal. And
it depends, again, sir, on what we're talking about. You have said that you kick a dog.
I don't kick a dog. I move the dog out of the way. And
you throw a cat into the backyard.
Let me explain something about cats, and this is why that commercial is not very effective. Most people don't like cats. Most people like dogs, but most people don't like cats. I don't know why it is. I like cats. But I think I treat cats better than most human beings do, because most people, if they were given the choice, I think would eradicate them off the earth.
I like cats.
Yeah, good for you. You like cats. So do I. You know?
I like cats a lot. In some ways, I like them better than dogs.
Well, that is something that I think is a problem. I think you need to like a dog better than a cat. But
all right, 877-876-PHIL. Talking with Lloyd Bonafide here concerning these ASPCA or these BCSPCA. I don't know which.
Well, I don't watch the commercials from Canada. I don't know what you're talking about. But
well, we're talking about animal cruelty. Now, if you kick a dog, what kind of dog do you kick?
It's a boxer.
I mean, what I meant to say was, when you kick it, you haven't told me whether you're nudging it.
If you walk up to a dog and he's laying in front of you, you kick it out of the way. If you have a cat, and the cat is in a workshop area or is rubbing itself all over you, and you don't like to get rubbed on by a cat, and again, some people are allergic to them, then you take it, you put your foot under it, and I don't know if you've ever done it, but the cat's, you know where the cat's belly is, you put just your foot underneath the cat and you flick it up in the air. Now that will clear the animal from the area that you're working in without causing the animal any real distress. But what you're attempting to do is you don't want to be cruel, but you've got to get that animal out of there, because you've been fooling around with cats and dogs walking through your workspace all morning.
Well, why are you fooling around with cats? You're telling me that because of these SPCA ads, we're basically living with animals.
Well, we are guilted into giving over our living space, giving over our workspace, in some instances, giving over the rooms that we sleep in, to dogs and cats. To have a dog sleeping in the same area that you sleep in, or a cat sleeping in the same area that you sleep in, is not a normal, natural act. And yet, that's what we're doing. Now, again, if there's a cat or a...
Well, I don't know that that's the case. People have had cats and dogs in their houses for a long time.
And it's been a long time, Mr. Henry, since I've been a single man. But if you're a single man and you're invited over to a young lady's house, and for whatever reason you're spending the night with her, and you are spending the night with a young lady and she's got cats and dogs that are crawling all over you while you're in the you know, and I forgive me for saying, while you're in the bed with a woman. And you know what I mean by that, don't you?
Yes, sir, I think I do.
All right. How do you feel about having a dog while you're doing whatever you're doing with its nose up your you-know-what?
I don't think that I'd... If you're going to be spending the night...
Well, hold on. Don't answer the question, because I'm telling you, it is not a natural thing for a woman to invite a man to her home and to expect him to sit down and eat dinner with her, or expect him to even spend the night with her while she's got these animals crawling all over the table, sitting under the table while you're trying to eat a meal. And then when you get your clothes off...
All right, well, this has gone beyond talking about animal cruelty, though.
No, it is not, sir. We're talking about giving over our living space to animals as the result of this Sarah McLachlan and the people that she is associating herself with.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Lloyd Bonafide here about the SPCA animal cruelty ad. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. We'll take some phone calls this segment for Lloyd Bonafide as we talk about the ASPCA commercials that you see on cable television, generally late at night. I don't really know if they're – I guess they air during the daytime. I've seen them a lot where they show those terribly abused animals and the dogs and the cats. And Sarah McLachlan, who is the singer –
What is the young lady's name again, Bill?
Sarah McLachlan.
Yes, sir.
And in any event, you have made the point, sir, that the commercials themselves are almost counterproductive.
Yes, sir.
In the way that you feel manipulated by them. But I don't quite understand you when you say that they have inspired you to be cruel to animals.
I love animals. And I love animals since I was a boy. And as I mentioned to you earlier, when I was in Korea, we had a beagle that the bosun and one of the junior grade lieutenants found this beagle in Japan. So we had this animal on board this destroyer that we were on. Now, when the word came that we had to go to the Chosin Reservoir, I took this beagle and I threw it overboard. And the reason why I did that is I had no choice. And I felt terrible about that. And it stayed with me all of my life, so that I had dogs and cats and tried to teach myself to treat them better, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, sir.
And then along comes these commercials. And suddenly, I'm back to the old mindset. That
you're back to the... So, you want to hurt an animal when you see these commercials.
No, I don't want to hurt. I'm so sick of looking at those commercials that it's not even worth it to have a pet. So, when I see a cat, as I mentioned to you earlier, and my next-door neighbor... Madeline Carruthers, she was married to a man who had killed himself some years ago, and this was as the result, and I'm not proud of this at all, sir, as the result of me having a relationship.
With the woman?
With Mrs. Carruthers, yes. And he had shot himself. And as the result of that, she was not of a mind to have anything more to do with me, although she still lives next door. And when the ASPCA commercial came on about the animals, and I flicked a cat with my foot, and it flew over into her yard. She became emotionally distraught, thinking that she was losing her mind.
And why?
Say that again?
Why was she becoming emotionally distraught? Because you kicked a cat?
Not because I kicked a cat, no, sir. Because she had, when I flicked it, and I didn't kick it, I flicked it up, I put my foot under the belly of the cat and flipped it. It didn't flip it. It didn't go end over end, but I sort of flickered it, you know?
No, I don't know what you mean. You flipped it up in the air?
I didn't flip it. It didn't go...
I know you didn't flip it so it went head over heels, but you flipped the cat in the air.
Yes, sir. And the animal fell into her yard, and she saw this and became emotionally distraught. At that point, I got a measure of satisfaction knowing that I had created a nervous condition in her that I think was payback for her dumping me after her husband shot himself. You understand? And so
we're getting off into some areas here, sir. I don't need to know about your relationship with a woman or otherwise.
Well, but I'm telling you about kicking a cat. I kicked a cat into her yard.
I know you kicked a cat into her yard, and I know you kicked your dog. Are you saying that's because of the ASPCA?
Yes, sir. That's what I'm trying to tell you, that the woman next door, who already suffers from a debilitating nervous condition as the result of the ASPCA, God, I wish that I could keep my mind...
ASPCA.
The ASPCA, as the result of their commercials, I became so distraught and irritated that I flicked a cat in the air. Now, what is it about that you don't understand?
I understand that perfectly. You got angry. You kicked a cat.
I did not kick the cat.
All right, you flicked it with your foot.
Yes, sir.
And the cat flew into this woman's yard.
Yes.
All right. The yard of a woman that you'd had an affair with, and as the result of you having an affair with her, her husband shot himself.
That is correct. Yes, sir.
So she was in a very delicate, nervous condition.
Yes, for several years now.
Okay, so you had this affair with her many years ago?
Yes, sir.
And her husband shot himself.
Right. I remember the time. It was 2 a.m. because I was getting I'd gone to the kitchen, and I remember drinking right out of the carton of milk in the refrigerator, which I never do. And as I put the carton to my lips, I heard the very quick, sharp report of a 38, and I whispered to myself the one word, Carruthers, and then I commenced to drinking probably half the carton of milk.
That's very interesting, sir, but and it's very tragic, and it's very sad, but,
I'm not saying the APCA,
The ASPCA.
I'm not saying that the ASPCA caused him to kill himself. I'm not saying that at all. I take that on myself, although I believe Madeline had more to do with it than I did. I'm saying that the ASPCA caused me to kick an animal into her yard, and I flicked the cat so well, it looked as if it was flying.
And she saw this cat, and she had a relapse.
She saw a cat sail through the air, and she had a nervous reaction to it. Yes, sir. That's all I'm trying to say.
And you understand that it's a very bizarre story, and the other thing...
I understand that, yes, sir.
And the other thing that's difficult... is to how to put it together with what it is we're talking about. I don't want to say that I don't care about Mrs. Carruthers. I do. And your problems, that's fine. But the fact of the matter is, the basic kernel that we're talking about here is you're blaming these commercials on television of the abused animals. You're blaming those for making you kick that cat or flick that cat, as you say.
I'm flicking the cat. Yes, I am. And it's because those animals look so pathetic... and they look so sickly that there isn't more that I... I can do for them. People don't always realize, you know, that cats have nine lives, and you can kick them and flip them and flicker them, even a kitten. But I love cats.
Well, I don't believe that at all. I think it's horse dung. And I think people are very abusive to cats because they got some stupid ideas about cats.
I agree with you.
Then you shouldn't be kicking the cat.
I thought I had done something that was benign. The animal flew through the air. I kicked it or flipped it up in the air a good 10, 12 feet. But, you know, cats will land on their feet.
Uh-huh.
And she went, and what happened was that Madeline, as soon as I saw the cat disappear behind her fence, and then you could have beat one, two, three, and I heard her scream and come running out the front door, howling with her robe flowing in the wind. And it wasn't, you know, it was one of those.
And did they call the ambulance?
Did they call an ambulance? No, they. I called an ambulance. What they?
Well, whoever. Someone called an ambulance.
Yeah, me. Not they.
Okay, you called the ambulance.
I knew, yeah, right away. As soon as I heard her howling through the front door, I got on the phone and I said, we need 911 emergency, and they arrived. Now, they put her in a psychiatric unit. I told them about the cat, but these doctors think they know everything, so...
What? All right. All right, well, I hope you get your problems worked out.
I don't have any problems.
Yeah, you got some problems. You got some serious problems. There's no question you got problems.
You flip a cat?
He didn't flip it. He flicked it. Didn't you hear him? You got to get these things straight, man.
Yeah, I flicked it, not flip.
877-876-PHIL. And as the result of that, the woman went howling out the front door, and she went into the nut house. And this is all because of Sarah McLachlan and her ASPCA ads. All right, 877-876-PHIL, and our web address, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Pick up a backstage pass, brother. We're going to have our Sunday night Phil again this Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Three solid hours of classic Phil Hendry on the website, philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
About that cat, though.
I don't care, man, what that guy's story is.
You remember that guy called in, though?
About what?
He called in about, I don't know, called in about 5 years ago. He said he had a sip of buttermilk, and then he said Carruthers.
He had a sip of buttermilk, and he said Carruthers.
Yeah, but he heard a... Excuse me. He had a... he heard of it.
Not belching my face, man.
Sorry. He heard a pistol shot, and then a man, and then he goes Carruthers.
I don't remember the guy calling in. He did?
Yeah, he called up. He said he went to the kitchen to get buttermilk. He doesn't say buttermilk this time. That was buttermilk. And he heard a shot, and he said Carruthers. And he had been having an affair with that lady next door.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all. That's the same guy?
Yeah, it's the same guy. He'd had an affair with a lady, and a pistol shot rang out.
Oh, God. And now the guy's blaming all of that on the fact that he flips a cat up in the air in the ASPCA. Holy God. Lindsay Lohan jailed after failing drug test. Speaking of failed drug tests, Lindsay Lohan returned to jail in handcuffs today after a judge... I say today, we've still got about 12 minutes left of today. After a judge refused to set bail and ordered her to remain in custody for failing a drug test until another hearing in almost a month's time. Bailiffs escorted the actress from the Beverly Hills courtroom. Immediately after hearing, which lasted less than 10 minutes, Lohan's father, Michael, he said, oh, God, as his daughter, Rose, looked at her attorney and was taken away. God, this Michael Lohan, maybe I'm missing something about this guy. I don't understand him at all. His daughter doesn't like him. She wants him away from him, or from her. You can tell a mile away the guy's a weird ass. You can tell a mile away the guy's a stage father. And he sticks his kisser in the middle of all this stuff because he wants a little love for himself. His daughter doesn't like him. Nobody else likes his ass, except maybe, you know, some of the people he has gathered around him. But I can assure you, sir, that the public, we don't even know why the hell it is we got to hear about you half the time. Because I'm her father. Yeah, okay, you're her father. She's an adult woman. And whatever it is you're doing as her father, man, you ain't doing it all that good.
Yeah, she's trying. I bet you she's going back to jail to get away from him.
I wouldn't doubt it. Judge Eldon S. Fox in the Los Angeles Superior Court would not agree to a request for bail from Lohan's attorney, Sean Chapman Holly. It'll be Lohan's third jail stint for a three-year-old drug and drink driving case. I like that better than drunk driving.
Yeah, it sounds better.
Lindsay Lohan's father, Michael Lohan, erupts at his daughter's lawyer for making bad decisions at a press. That's why she's in jail, sir. Her lawyer made bad decisions, yeah. For making bad decisions at a press conference immediately following the court appearance. And now the guy's got his face at a press conference. Somebody, if ever a guy needed a cream pie in the kisser.
Quite honestly, I thought Sean Chapman Holly would be down here and I'd have a chance to address her and her decisions in representing my daughter. To begin with, I've been asking that Lindsay go into a rehab all along. She should have never, ever, ever had to face jail time or incarceration in the UCLA medical facility. Personally, I feel Sean and the people around Lindsay who are representing her are responsible. When Lindsay was supposed to go into Morningstar Rehab, they started to reconstruct everything there for Lindsay to accommodate her. Sean Chapman Holly leaked that to the press because they wanted Lindsay to get out sooner and have her in UCLA so she wouldn't spend much time in a rehab. They're destroying my daughter's life.
What a... That guy's a... He's a disgrace. Here he is, taking the opportunity to attack his ex-wife.
I'm praying that Dina finally gets on the same page with me and does something about this. I just hope the judge remands Lindsay to a rehab for a longer period of time, and the people in Lindsay's life that are destroying her life and leading her down the wrong path are weeded out, and I hope that just God comes into her life and touches Dina's heart, because... The woman that I see in that courtroom now, my ex-wife, is not the woman I fell in love with and married.
Of course.
I made mistakes myself.
Really?
I fixed them.
Really?
I've tried to help my family. I've done everything I wanted.
I am extorted
by Dina constantly for money, and all I do is give her everything she wants with promises that she'll help mend things, and she doesn't. But you know what? This is not about anyone else but Lindsay.
Of course not. But let's take the time to talk about your ex-wife. Well, that was fantastic, man. You never done anything wrong. What a joke. You know, these people with their kids in Hollywood and you ain't the actor. She is. You're not the star. She is. Nobody wants to hear from you and your problems with your wife.
And another thing I'd like to say, who are you? I'm her father.
You're her father. Oh, great. Well, then you ought to go into jail with her.
I've tried to do everything that I can. My wife, Dina, and my, and the lawyer. And the police,
you are just fantastic, Jack. You know what would make you even better? If you just freaking disappear, man. Every time I turn around with a story, here's this jackass. That poor kid, that Lohan kid, she's a good actress, and that's about what she does. She's an actress, okay? She's in the movie. She's on a TV show, whatever she does. She's got a drug problem, and she better clean that up. She's not unlike a lot of people who have drug problems. Hers is very public because of the nature of the work that she does. But nonetheless, it's the work that she does. It's not curing cancer. I understand that. It isn't anything that were Lindsay Lohan to stop acting tomorrow, the world is not really going to notice it all that much, except maybe Michael Lohan and what he's got planned for the next few years to keep his ass from having to work. But your daughter, sir, is, to the extent that she's made people happy with her acting, yeah, she's great. Going into jail, no one cares. You running your big fat mouth. Why don't you write a book? Why don't you do a documentary? Why don't you, I don't know, collect coins or something? Meanwhile, in the other world of entertainment, which is television, in a moment of major upheaval in the media industry, on Friday, CNN and NBC Universal each announced the replacement of top executives. Now, this may not mean a whole lot to you folks, but it is significant in that NBC Universal Chief Jeff Zucker and CNN President John Klein both have been fired. John Klein's been there for a long time, about 6 years. Zucker has been there a long time. And there are some people who wondered why. But while there are major differences between the two businesses, common themes underlie the personnel moves. Both CNN and NBC are on TV. No, I'm kidding. Both CNN and NBC Universal are being buffeted, as all media organizations are, by the rapid rise in online competition. No kidding. No kidding. Despite that upheaval, both organizations are solidly profitable, but CNN and NBC have suffered erosion in their primetime ratings. Jeff Zucker is the better known of the two figures and has a reputation as having been a boy wonder. He became executive producer of the immensely profitable Today Show. Let me explain something to you guys, because I understand there's people scratching their heads. They're saying the following thing. We don't get it, Phil. How can it be profitable, and yet these guys are being fired? I'll tell you why. When you don't show audience growth, you may have a lot of money from advertisers. And why? Because the advertisers have traditionally always been there for you. They'll say, oh, yeah, the Today Show. Oh, yeah, Jeff Zucker. Oh, yeah, NBC. And they buy and they buy and they buy. But if you do not show ratings growth, if you show ratings, as they put it here, erosion, if you're not showing the advertisers that their dollars are well spent by some kind of audience reaction in the positive way, the advertiser says, well, all right, I've invested enough money with your dog and pony show. I'm getting out of here. That hasn't happened yet, but NBC's heavies, the guys in the boardroom, anticipate that. And they don't want to see it happen. They're saying, we're profitable now, Jeff, but where are our ratings? Well, you've been telling me that for 10 years, man. And before we start losing our advertisers, you too, Klein, we're going to have to kick your asses to the curb and get some people in here that can start programming so that we do not have to see that dollar erosion, right? Like we're already seeing the ratings erosion. Because in the broadcast business, ratings come first. They fall first, then your ad revenue falls after that. So you may lose your audience, but your ad revenue is still doing pretty good. Eventually, though, the buyers see the audience leaving, and they leave. That's what NBC is trying to keep from happening. Okay?
Are you going to say that again? I was really bitching, but there would be more time for it.
I don't know, bud. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. There's a lot of other stuff to talk about, including another execution, this time in California. Yes! I'm just kidding. I didn't...
Yeah, say that again.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Now, we all know there is a long tradition of great nations.
First saved message.
Quite honestly, I thought Sean Chapman and Holly would be down here.
There was a great surge from the back.
You blew it!
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast with a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night till the sun comes up in some places where truth is our bitch and where we take you through the looking glass and go places other talk shows, they just ain't got the guts for it. The right arm, the strong right arm of our show, philhendryshow.com, our website. We're live streaming video and live streaming audio of the show. Can be viewed right now and listened to, and we've got downloads each and every day of our show. We have our five-day video archive. We have our archives. We have our podcasts. We have our news feed. We have your comments. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. So check it out. Now, where were we when we were so rudely interrupted?
You're going to talk about Jeff Zucker and everything about it.
Yeah, well, you were talking about something really about CNN, too.
Yeah, okay, but I mean, I don't want to, we're just basically talking about media, television, what's going on with it, right?
Yeah, you're saying it like, what about Zucker?
I'm going to talk about Zucker. Jeff Zucker, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that, but here's the story. But what I was saying was the following. Jeff Zucker has been fired by NBC, John Klein. You guys don't know who they are, and that's fine, and I barely know who they are, and that's fine, and it's not important. What's important is the following thing. Two men whose personal programming philosophies were ineffective have been pushed out the door. And you may say, oh, wow, NBC was ineffective. I didn't know. Yes, NBC has sucked hard and long for a very long time. NBC sucks. Yeah, I know they had My Name is Earl, which is off the air now. And they've got the office, which is fine. You can sign all kinds of licensing agreements with British television and take their shows and bring them over here, which is basically what the office is. And I say this with the greatest of respect, but the American version of the office isn't even close to being as funny as the British one. Not even approaching as funny as Ricky Gervais when he was on The Office in the UK. Well, that's fine. I'm sure it's a very funny show, but I don't watch it. I don't laugh at it because I already watched all of the ones from Great Britain, and they're funny as hell. So what? Anyway, Jeff Zucker's been canned because do you notice that there's no Friends anymore? There's no Seinfeld anymore. There's no Frasier anymore. There ain't no nothing anymore. So goodbye. John Klein, he's lost his job, and this is even more significant. People don't understand why Fox is a success. People don't understand. Television people don't. I understand. I know why. But CNN didn't understand it. MSNBC doesn't really understand it, although MSNBC is copying the Fox model. Without question, they're copying it. They're copying it by...
No, they're not. Keith Olbermann, he hates it over there.
That's got nothing to do with it, bud.
What are you talking about? Keith Olbermann, he hates... Why, they are copying them. They hate them.
No, it's got nothing to do with whether they hate them or not. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about their approach. Do you understand?
Yeah, you said Keith Olbermann got to copy Bill O'Reilly. He'd never do it in a billion years. You're way off base on that one.
I'm not saying he's copying Bill O'Reilly's politics. I'm not even saying that it's Keith Olbermann. The programming philosophy of MSNBC is identical to the programming philosophy of Fox. And that is, Fox and MSNBC, whether they consciously know it or not, have patterned themselves after talk radio stations. Now, this is something that is very difficult for me to communicate to people who are not in the business, but I'm going to do it. Or at least try it. You can call yourself Fox News Channel, that's fine. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. What you call yourself should be something that people readily identify with. So they call themselves Fox News Channel, whatever. Sure, they do news. I'm not saying that they don't do news. But they are not a news dispensing operation in the line of a CNN that one would traditionally think of. They are more like a talk station. They have personality, news break. Then another personality, news break. Then another personality, news break. That's Fox. And it's a very effective model. And I'm not complaining about it.
Yeah, but they're a news channel. You can't say that they're not and everything.
Yeah, don't you think they do news?
Are you guys listening to me, man? Or are you just sitting there cleaning the dirt out from your fingernails, bud? Which you are, by the way.
Yeah, but I'm listening to you.
I'm saying, yes, they do news. Do the stations that we're on do news?
I don't know.
Well, yes, they do, okay?
Yeah, how do you know if you don't hear it?
Because I just know that they do. Does that make this a news show?
Well,
probably not. I mean, if you put it that way.
Yeah, well, that's the way I'm putting it. So there's news, then there's the show, then there's news, then there's the show, then there's news, there's the show.
Then there's news and the show, too.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, well, you said there's news and the show, and then news and the show is what I said.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. Thank you for adding that on.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Wow.
What do you mean, wow?
What are you, like a retard or something, man?
You're not supposed to say that.
I don't care. News and the show, news and the show, news and the show. Oh, then there's news and the show.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you probably just got kicked off of Canada on account of you said what you said. And the people,
you just shut up for a minute, man, and let me finish. So those are talk stations. That's why Fox is successful. I think MSNBC sees that. They see Fox's method, and they like it, and so they're trying to be that for liberals. But there's a problem with MSNBC, and it's the problem that anyone that copycats somebody constantly gets into. The problem is this. They don't know why they're doing it. They don't know why they're doing what they're doing. Fox knows that they're tapping into a populist. They know that their audience is primarily, you know, it's comprised of a lot of people. There's a sort of an attitude that Fox has tapped into. It's American. Okay, maybe it's sort of white, but there's lots of, it's all kinds of people. Black, white, Hispanic. It's middle class. It's working class, too. See, that's the thing that probably befuddles MSNBC and CNN to some extent, that they can't understand that Fox,
They think Fox has a bunch of upper middle class and middle class white folks, which I don't doubt that they have. But they also have a very healthy serving of working class people. And that's what MSNBC thinks that they have, see?
You're lisping.
Is that right? I'm doing it on purpose.
You went MSNBC. You didn't know you were going to do that, did you?
What? Yes, I so the, you're lisping.
Well, you did.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, Fox, MSNBC isn't quite sure, but they've decided, wow, we really like that whole idea. But look at the cats that Fox has. Fox has, first of all, what Fox has is they got a guy that came out of talk radio, and he has the creative instinct of a guy that's been a performer in radio, and that's Glenn Beck. So he sits there, and like all of us that come out of radio, he's got a lot to say, and he looks around and he says, well, what can we do with all of this stuff? And the first thing he did is, using that kind of morning show instinct you do in radio, he started grabbing all kinds of props and getting a chair over here and putting something over there and doing sort of the TV version of getting sound effects and getting phone beds and, you know, all the stuff that you do. And all the other clowns on Fox are looking at this and they're going, wow, that's pretty cool. I wonder what I could do. I O'Reilly was trying for a while there, doing some sort of creative editing with stuff. It looked kind of lame, but the point being, there's nothing like that. You know, they hired Ed Schultz over at MSNBC, but they do not have the same kind of guy. Ed Schultz is not even one-tenth the entertainer that Glenn Beck is. Ed Schultz is not even one-tenth the broadcaster that Glenn Beck is. I'm not even sure, to be honest with you, that Ed Schultz is all that much of a radio broadcaster, let alone a freaking TV a broadcaster.
Who's he?
Who's who?
Ed Schultz.
Is he that guy on the place for the the Flyers?
Does he play for the Flyers? He's a guy that's on MSNBC?
I don't know.
I'm not familiar with that, but the guy...
Well, hold on, Fran. Just let me... I'll explain it to you. Ed Schultz is on MSNBC. He's got a TV show. Does he play for the Flyers?
Who's the guy named Ed Schultz on the Flyers?
There's no cat named Ed Schultz on the Flyers. The fact is that MSNBC, in attempting to do what Fox does, can't do it as well because their people aren't as good. Their people aren't as good. They're not as funny. They're not as glib. They're not as intelligent. They take themselves way too serious. They look a little angry. They look kind of constipated. If you look at Fox, they have a guy like Geraldo Rivera, for instance, who's this sort of freewheeling, crazy ass that gets down there in the middle of floodwaters, and he's got his cameraman sticking his camera there, you know, while the dike is being breached, and then he's down there where, you know, they're finding dead bodies. This cat's everywhere. Then you got Beck with all of his wild ass stuff, you know. Then you got the Shepard Smith, and that cat, you know, Shepard Smith's kind of a funny guy, you know. He's always like doing shtickeroo there on that Studio B thing that he does. So, and he's sort of a very credible news announcer. As a matter of fact, Shepard Smith is very much, in a lot of ways, a liberal. I mean, he's more of an Obama supporter than anybody else on that channel, and yet people accept him as belonging on Fox. Then you got that morning show, which is just so goofy, but it's very everyman. I mean, that Gretchen Carlson, you know, she's got about as much going for her upstairs in terms of the brain department. I'm sorry, but I don't take her seriously, but who the hell, who cares? People like looking at her. And Ducey's a goofball, and at Kilmeade, and the whole thing seems to work beautifully.
What about Morning Joe on a NBC?
Morning Joe's the best show that MSNBC's got. Hands down, the best show. There's only one thing wrong with Morning Joe. Joe talks too much. If he'd shut up and let that, what's her name, talk.
Yeah, she's really good, that lady, whatever her name is.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She's, who is she? I don't know. We love her, but we don't know your name. I'm sorry, ma'am. She's the daughter of...
Here, I got it right here. Bibignu or Ziganubu.
Ziganubu?
Yeah, right there.
No, Zbigniew Brzezinski. Ziganubu.
That, what's his name?
Zbigniew Brzezinski. Her name is something Brzezinski. But anyway, and they got that Willie Geist guy. That show's the best show on MSNBC. Now, CNN, I'll tell you how CNN can solve their problems when we come back. But we got to move on to some other news, don't we?
No, I don't know, man. It's pretty interesting. But you should do that one story about the lady that had to put a bag on her head.
Yeah, okay. I'll do the story about the lady that's got to put her bag on her head and some other news, and we'll get back to this when we get back to this. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We do have a Dr. Green Thumb to do because there's some dope news coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show right after this. Thank you.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Right there. It says Zika-Bandu.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb. Paging Dr. Green Thumb.
All right, time for the Dr. Green Thumb report. Just a kind of a mini Dr. Green Thumb report here. Tonight, high-quality marijuana is cheapest in the Pacific Northwest. The price of weed, I'm sorry, but for some reason I just really need to lisp tonight. High-quality marijuana is cheapest in the Pacific Northwest. The price of weed is overcrowding, is a crowdsourcing web... What? The price of weed is a crowdsourcing website where marijuana consumers submit how much high, medium, and low-quality weed costs in their area. It turns out that tokers only have to pay $265 for an ounce of the kind bud in Oregon, as opposed to shelling out $484 an ounce in Delaware. Other states for top-notch marijuana on the cheap include Montana, $271 an ounce, Alaska, $295 an ounce, and Washington State at $310 an ounce. Well, obviously it's cheaper where it is grown. If proximity to Canada drives price down of high-quality weed, then it's probably proximity to Mexico that makes low-quality weed cheaper as well. Welcome to California. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, an ounce of swag only costs $57 and $60 in Texas and Arizona. The national average for low-quality dope is about $125 an ounce. All in all, the price of weed should be a source of endless and not entirely focused speculation for those who enjoy the psychoactive plant. What a stupidly written article. Really bad. Quit trying to be funny, Asylum. Give me the facts, okay? Just the facts. Rhinos protect pot crop in Austrian zoo. Dateline Austria. A zookeeper in Western Austria may wind up in a cage of his own after narcotics officers discovered 33 marijuana plants inside a rhino enclosure. According to reports, the rhino caretaker had exclusive access to the enclosure, and the presence of the notoriously irritable one-ton beast was likely to deter the curious. Unfortunately, like the Canadian guard bears the... Unfortunately, much like the Canadian guard bears, the Austrian rhinos couldn't deter police. Police received a tip about the grow op from one... U.S. woman receives marijuana along with shoe order. Oh, this ought to be fun. Oh, we're running out of time? No, here it is. A free gift along with a pair of shoes ordered online is nothing unusual, but when that gift turns out to be dope, it's an entirely different matter. Betty James, a resident of Kansas City, ordered a pair of sneakers online for one of her children from the Finish Line Incorporated's website. But when she received her pair, she opened the box to find, you got it, weed wrapped in a cigar leaf known as a blunt. Yes, it's known as a blunt, reports KMBC.com. KMBC, the same commercial station that aired that coon commercial, did not know what a blunt was. In other news, no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, James contacted the company, a Finish Line store in Omaha, but hasn't received a reply from them yet. She also called the Kansas City Police Department. That's kind of a dumb move, don't you think? Oh, okay. Anyway, officers who landed at her house confirmed that it was indeed marijuana, and for laughs, they arrested her. No, we're only kidding. Ha, ha, ha. The marijuana, the box, and the shipping bag were taken by police into evidence. James kept the shoes, but cops were eyeballing her as they left. Yeah, right. Sure, that's... Yeah, you're right, ma'am. What? Yeah, the dope just kind of... Well, why would I call you? Well, that's a good point. Michigan State's police troopers discovered 400 pounds of marijuana in a minivan during a traffic stop along Interstate 94 in Van Buren County. Officials tell the Kalamazoo Gazette the pot seized Thursday has an estimated street value of about $500,000. Troopers from the Paw Paw Post were patrolling I-94 in Antwerp Township around 2:15. We got the Paw Paw Post, we got the Antwerp Township, the Kalamazoo Gazette, and 400 pounds of weed! Sounds like an Arlo Guthrie song. Anyway, that's when they came across the marijuana, which was wrapped in large parcels. Police say the 28-year-old driver was headed to Detroit, where he was to deliver the drugs for street sales to a man. The man was being held in the county jail where he was awaiting arraignment. California Governor blasts union for backing legalized pot. Exhaling a big, big cloud of weed smoke, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has blasted California's largest union for supporting a November ballot measure to legalize marijuana. How dare you, said the governor as he rolled up the blunt and then put the blunt. Anyway, the governor wrote an opinion piece for Friday's Los Angeles Times calling it a flawed initiative that would make California a laughingstock, cause legal nightmares, and risk public safety. Schwarzenegger, using the typical intelligence of a politician when it came to legalized weed, wrote the piece. It attacks the 700,000-member Service Employees International Union for endorsing the measure. The SEIU has said the plan could bring tax income to fill empty government coffers. They're right, but do we need their union supporting it? No, we don't, because people think you're all a bunch of weird asses in that union. The SEIU is resisting his reform demands, although a handful of other unions have agreed to pension concessions. Is that it? Yeah, that's it, man.
What? What about this one?
This is about a kid egging a teen and a cat. That's it. So that's our Dr. Green Thumb report. Get out of here, man. You know, if you want to legalize dope in California, and I think it's time. I do not smoke it myself, and that's, I'm being very honest. The reason why I don't smoke weed is because I don't like the effects. It's not the biochemistry of Phil and what the weed provides for one's biochemistry. I don't need what it provides, see? Some people do. Some people like what the weed provides for them. I don't.
Well, you like what cocaine provides.
Yes, I like what cocaine...
Will you shut up about...
I don't use any drugs. Alcohol, that's it. But nonetheless, I do favor the legalization. However, that having been said, the SEIU, we don't need. You guys are so weird. There's just too much baggage with you cats now, man. Everybody thinks you're a bunch of weird asses. Anyway, in other news, before we take our bottom of the thing break... A lady in Great Britain was told to stick a bag over her head when she came in for a job interview. Why? Because she has like 15 piercings in her kisser, about 96 tattoos on her arms. She looks like she comes from another planet, but other than that, she's fantastic. No, she walked out of there. She has 20 body piercings, some on her face. She was advised to stand behind a wall and then stick a bag on her head if she wants a job. And she got all, you know, upset and she was crying and she felt offended. And I have to say... Of course, they were very, very cruel to you, and I understand that, young lady, but the fact is, you do look... It ain't good, man. I mean, we'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to our news hour. Phil Hendry here with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. So I'm going to go back to the CNN, right?
You know, I think a lot of people want to hear, you're talking about everything about CNN, or I mean Fox, what they do, right?
Yeah, but you're not talking about CNN and they mess up. And a man got fired and everything.
All right, well, I mean, John Klein was fired. He was very honest. He said, I've been shot. People get shot in this business, and I got shot, said Klein. After Zucker explained to the Times, I understand it. They spend billions of dollars. It's the way it goes. Zucker said he would stay at NBC until the day the deal closes with Comcast. Zucker is leaving at the request of NBC's new owner, NBC's news owner, whatever that means. Is it Comcast? Mr. Zucker said, I spent the last 24 years thinking only about NBC Universal and never contemplated anything else. Well, in December 2009, Comcast Corp. agreed to buy a 51% stake in the NBC Corps, in NBC from General Electric. The deal is still subject. All right, so anyway, let me get back to the CNN and what's wrong with them. And I'll tell you what's wrong with them in a nutshell. When you say you want to be a news channel, as in a real news channel, as opposed to sort of the talk news or talk show format that Fox very successfully has adopted. And Fox does what they do very well. They're creative. They communicate well. It's personality television. If you want, it's personality news television. CNN is not. CNN, other than Larry King, has no really recognizable personalities. Now, that is the result of a desire on the part of CNN to be seen as a news channel, but it's also the result of CNN wrongly trying to also establish their people as personalities.
I don't know what you mean. Rick Sanchez, I think he's very funny.
Are you nuts?
What are you talking about?
Are you kidding? Rick Sanchez got all... He always had a Rick list, you know?
Yeah, remember when you called it the lick list?
I said lick list before I seen it.
The lick list? Are you talking about Rick Sanchez?
Yeah, so I said Rick Sanchez. I think he's very good. Very, very good. All I had on Twitter and everything.
Rick Sanchez, he licks it.
No, hold on for a minute. Robert, you're high, man.
What do you mean I'm high?
Rick Sanchez. Rick's a nice guy. He sucks.
You can't say he sucks. Why do you say he sucks?
Because he does. That's why.
Shut up, man. Why do you say? He's already had that tweet me and everything. You know?
Tweet me? Oh, will you stop? His show is a perfect example of a guy that's trying to do everything to make everything stick. And he's missing one key ingredient. He's got no opinion of anything. He doesn't really take any kind of a controversial stand on anything. And he doesn't even have to take a controversial stand. Nobody believes anything that he says. He's doing Twitter here. He's doing Facebook there. And here's a story that we're covering for you. And it's always a story that nobody gives a crap about. It sucks, man. Here's what they ought to do over that channel. If they want to do news, they're going to have to do news. And this is what you do, CNN. I hope you're listening, because I've got it for you right here, man. Now, if you want to hire me, I'll implement this for you. This is what's going to win for you. You ready?
Who are you talking to?
Anybody at CNN that's listening. You have got to get back into the business of news. And what is news? It ain't Washington, and it ain't New York, and it ain't the international capitals, and all of that jazz that you cats did, and you did it very well, but it's dull. Oh, man, is it dull. It ain't you at the White House, and it ain't you at the State Department. You want to know where it is? It's YouTube. It's on the streets of America. It's out there waiting for you right into the to go places where even Fox hasn't got the guts to go, where MSNBC hasn't got the guts to go where no man has gone before.
Yeah, it's five-year mission.
Can you shut up? It's five-year mission.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
All right, I forgot what I was saying. You got to get guys doing, you know, take a look at that freaking Discovery Channel and cops and all that jazz, man. Stick a reporter in a cop car. Do ride-alongs with cameras live. Live. Like 1 week, I'd have reporters all over the country doing ride-alongs with cops. All right? And then there wouldn't be any tape live. I'd be going live to this, live to that, and live to something else. Stick a camera in a coffee shop in the worst Bowery section of, just the most grungy-ass Skid Row section of New York. Do the same thing in L.A. Have a camera there overnight as the junkies and the prostitutes and just the people of the world and the people of the night come in and out of the coffee shop. Do that, okay? Next thing you do, get a camera down to, like, the wharf in the morning, man, where the dudes are offloading stuff and they're loading stuff in and, you know, where the stevedores are having coffee. Interview some of those guys. Another thing you do, get some cameras into the Central Market in L.A. at 4 o'clock in the morning. One of the most, I don't know if they still do it, one of the craziest places in L.A. is the Central Market down here at 4 a.m. 4 a.m., you go down to the Central Market in L.A., and they're bringing in all the produce from the San Joaquin Valley and Imperial Valley. It's a nut house, and cats are down there, guys that own restaurants, people that own grocery stores, private citizens. People are down there picking through the lobsters and the fish and the beef and the fruits. You ever been down there?
I never been. One time I went down to the pantry, and I had a coffee all night, too.
Yeah, pantry's good.
I ain't talking about the pantry. The pantry's fantastic. I'm talking about the Central Market downtown. You guys have got to do stuff that nobody's doing. You have the ability, CNN, with the enormous technology that you've got, to go live everywhere. You can go live to the North Pole, man. The other night, I was listening to, for some reason, I was listening to the CBC radio. CBC radio. That's how weird I am. Canadian Broadcasting Corporation radio. In other words, something that no one listens to. And I was listening to their Northwest Territory network. Now, what do you think's up there?
Probably they have Eskimos and everything.
Yeah.
They do. They do. They have the Aleut people and the other, you know, native peoples. And a blizzard or something had gone through. I don't know what the hell happened. Some windstorm. And it blew some lady's house right off of the foundation. And she was this little Indian woman. And they were talking to her. And I remember thinking, God, what does it look like? I mean, what the hell? Go up there, man, and have cameras up there live, man. Here's another thing. Do you know that they're still broadcasting Russian-language Christian shows from the Kodiak Peninsula in Alaska into Russia?
What the hell are you talking about, man?
I'm telling you that in Alaska, there's church groups broadcasting Christian language, your Christian shows in Russian into Russia.
What for?
Because at one time when Russia was commie and they had no, you know, there was no religion. So these Christian groups would set up these radio stations on the peninsula up there in Alaska and broadcast Jesus into Russia.
Yeah, but there ain't nothing up there, man. They broadcast Jesus into a Siberian wasteland. Don't think they're bad about it here up there, man. It'd be a reindeer.
Yeah, they probably, if they want to talk to a reindeer, that's all.
No, there's people there, man. There's Vladivostok. There's towns, you know.
What called?
It's a city called Vladivostok. Never mind. The point is, there's stuff going on all the time. And if CNN, you know, I'm telling you, you ain't going to beat Fox because you guys lost the momentum. You don't have any personalities on your station or on your network that even go that are even close to compelling the way Fox's people are. Anderson Cooper sucks, and I, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah.
But he does. He's no good. He's not even a good newsman. He butchered that Haiti thing. Butchered it. You know, Rick Sanchez, he stinks. I'm telling you right now, he stinks. I don't know what you cats are doing in the morning with the morning. Okay, fine, great, whatever, man. You know, here's our morning news. You guys look like just, I don't know what, man. You're like a local TV station's newscasts 24 hours. That's all it looks like. It's boring. You guys don't do any stories that are of any real, you're not breaking any stories. You're not doing anything. You're just always a day late and a dollar short behind Fox. Go out and do something that is going to get people's attention. And that means taking your capability as a network and going live to the streets of America. Man, I would, if I was running that newsroom, that's what I would do. I'd send people into every city, every major city, and I'd have like areas. First, I'd want Skid Row.
Yeah, but what? Which one?
Anyone. I'd say, we need to cover Skid Row. I want cameras in Skid Row. Then I'd want cameras in cop cars. Okay, so we got Skid Row, cop. Then I'd want cameras in coffee shops and shooting galleries where junkies are.
Are you kidding me? Them junkies, they cut a man. Everything.
I'd put a little hidden camera then on a guy. I'd put a hidden camera on one of my reporters, have him go live, undercover, as people are, you know, doing up.
Man, you get a man cut.
Whatever.
We need whatever, man. What kind of insurance are you going to be paying out?
All right, so I'm not going to get the cat cut. You know what I'm talking about, though. I get some cameras down there on the wharf in San Francisco and New York. I get some cameras down, you know. Get some dude, like, travel down the freaking Blue Ridge Highway one afternoon. Hey, we're live on the Blue Ridge Highway. It's a Sunday afternoon here in the middle of Virginia. And, I mean, you got to go where the people is, man.
No, it makes sense to me.
That's the only way you're going to do it. The one thing that Fox does, that CNN does, that everybody does, they stay in the studio. They hang onto their studio like they're hanging onto their, like a nipple. Get out there, man. Use all that technology that you guys have. You guys don't do jack squat with it. You want to know that? If you got the technology to take those cameras anywhere you want, and you ain't doing nothing. You're sitting there, and I got to look at that one Fruit Loop. Who's that guy in the morning? Boy, I'm telling you.
That Tony guy.
Yeah, his name's Tony the Tiger or something.
Yeah, Tony the Tiger's about it. He bugs the hell out of me. The whole thing is just a waste of electricity. But there is salvation. And I just gave you the blueprint for an exciting, new, international news. Tony Harris, that guy's a waste of freaking space. I'm telling you, I've given you the blueprint for a exciting new live American news network. The whole world would tune in. And you guys, very good. You covered Iran. You know, I really dig it. I got to tell you, though, all things being equal, I don't give a crap, man, because I'm going to get the Iranian news. For you guys to survive as a news network, you got to do more than, now we've got Iran covered like a glove. Well, that's, yeah, it's great, man. You got to do more, brother. A lot more. All right, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Our email is, well, our email is over at our website, philhendryshow.com. Check it out. You can email me once you are, of course, BSP. Bill Gates is now the richest American for the 17th year in a row. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'm going to go out there and get a camera down there with a shooting gallery.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back, world famous Phil Hendry Show. What do you got?
I just tweeted tweeted Rick Sanchez. See what he say.
Whatever, man.
What are you tweeting Rick Sanchez?
Just to see if you've been listening to hear about it.
He ain't listening right now, man. It's 3 o'clock. It's like 1 o'clock in the. What is it? It's 4 a.m. in Atlanta.
What do you mean, Atlanta? Ain't he in Hollywood?
No, he's not in Hollywood. What do you think he's in Hollywood? He's in Atlanta.
I know that.
Will you cut the belt, man?
Sorry.
What do you think? Because he's in, what do you mean Hollywood?
Ain't that where you're supposed to be?
No, you don't have to be there. Those cats do their thing from Atlanta. Forget about it, man. I tweeted Rick Sanchez.
Yeah, I want to see if he's awake. I guess he's not.
Unless he's just coming in from the bars. It's possible.
Yeah, that's right, Robert. He's just coming in from the bar. Yeah, Rick's just rolling in now.
What's funny about that?
Just sounds funny. Yeah, it's almost 4 a.m. Rick's rolling in from the local bars now.
Probably is, man. Try tweeting him now.
I'll tweet him and see what bar he was at.
Yeah, you do that, man. A federal judge in San Jose gave the go-ahead today for next week's scheduled execution of a convicted murderer from Riverside County, which will be California's first execution in nearly 5 years. U.S. District Judge Jeremy Fogel, who blocked lethal injections at San Quentin Prison in February of 2006 because of haphazard procedures, untrained staff, and the potential of inflicting excruciating pain. Oh, wait a minute. Who says who? Said revised state regulations and a U.S. Supreme Court ruling had removed constitutional obstacles to renewed executions, and he ain't about to argue with the Supreme Court. He'd like to be on it someday. Fogel acknowledged that he has not yet reviewed the state's amended procedures to determine whether they felt the being deposed amid the divine and the inconvenient. But he did say the condemned inmate, Albert Greenwood Brown, could avert that risk by choosing to be executed with a single drug, a heavy dose of the sedative sodium pentothal, rather than the three-drug combination California has used in past executions. Cruel and unusual punishment would be the three-drug combination as opposed to the single. You understand that at one time we had hangings and shootings, and we had the electric chair, and we had the gas chamber, and we had, I think that covers it all.
What about the guillotine?
The guillotine? I don't think we had a guillotine, did we?
I don't know. Did we? But Delaware had a guillotine.
Yeah.
How do you know Delaware had a guillotine? What do you mean Delaware had a guillotine?
I'm pretty sure it. In Delaware and a lot of the states that had been a colony.
I think he's right.
Delaware didn't have a guillotine. What are you talking about?
Yeah, they did.
Well, I'd like to see some verification on that. Delaware had the guillotine? Who else?
I think New Hampshire, Maine, all them states that are like more like old and all that.
Yeah, the old ones, they guillotined you.
No, not used to. They do it now.
Yeah. Now, if you have a conviction of being a murderer, do you get guillotined in Delaware and I think in, like, Georgia?
No, they don't guillotine you in Georgia because I happen to know I lived in Georgia.
Well, what's that other state?
Well, it's either Delaware or, it's Rhode Island.
Yeah, they got a guillotine in Rhode Island, a guillotine in Delaware, and, like, one of them other, like, Vermont or something.
They don't guillotine your ass in Vermont, man. Those cats are all progressive, socialist, whatever the hell.
Yeah, so what? That's what they was back in the days of like the French Revolution. They was all socialist, too. They still guillotine your butt.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't make any... What are you talking about, man? It doesn't make any difference. This is the year 2010, man. You're telling me they're guillotining your ass in Vermont?
No, I said Rhode Island.
You said Vermont, Rhode Island, and Delaware, they use the guillotine. That's what you said.
Well, I can double check if you want.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'd like that. God.
All right, all you got to do is ask.
Well, what do you think I've been doing, bud? The whole reason why I brought this up is the reason why they're using lethal injection is because they don't want cruel and unusual punishment. And I thought the only one, Delaware only allows lethal injection, according to Jason.
You know he lies.
He ain't lying. I think you're full of crap.
No, I just checked. They allow lethal injection.
Right. Well, I just got it from Jason, so thank you very much.
Well, what about, did they ever guillotine?
What is it with you and the belching, man?
Yeah.
I had a Coke.
Well, stop it. No, they didn't allow guillotining. Nobody guillotined nobody in America. But anyway, they wanted to make sure that they did, yeah, no guillotines.
Oh, bull crap, man. You saying just because what's he looking up?
Well, what have you looked up since you've been sitting here, man, telling me all about how they guillotine your ass in Delaware? You ain't looked up nothing. Jason looked it up. Now, the point that I'm trying to make, if you'll allow me, is they consider that to be cruel and unusual punishment. That is against the Constitution, very clearly worded in our Constitution. No cruel or unusual punishment.
What do you mean by unusual, though?
Guillotines.
That ain't unusual.
Sure is now it is. So we, you know, wanted to soften this stuff up. Now, the only execution methods used in the United States of America, lethal injection, electrocution, gas chamber, firing squad, and hanging.
Is hanging supposed to be unusual?
I don't know, man. I guess maybe, you know.
That's not unusual, man. All you got to do is turn on a Western.
Well, just because you're looking at it on a Western, man, doesn't mean it's real.
Yeah, but it ain't unusual.
All right, so it ain't unusual. God.
Neither's a firing squad.
Whatever, man. The cruel part, I guess, is what they're focusing on, okay? So the guy says that, you know, since it's cruel and unusual, let's do lethal injection. All right, fine. Now we make everybody happy. Lethal injection. Man's not, oh, well, guess what? The lethal injection, that's cruel and unusual, too. Because as it turns out, the three-drug combination, that's cruel and that's weird and that's messed up.
I think that whole thing, lethal injection, about as unusual as it gets. But a firing squad, everybody know about that.
Yeah, see, I don't get that, man. If you put a man in a firing squad or even walk on a plank, you know that's normal.
What do you mean walking a plank? Are you crazy?
That's a lot more normal than lethal injection.
Everybody know about that.
But just because everyone knows about walking a plank doesn't mean that it is not cruel.
It ain't unusual, though.
Here's a fun fact. The last use of the guillotine was in France in 1977. How about that, huh?
That's a lie, man. That's a dirty lie. Because I know in Delaware...
Will you get out of here with Delaware? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rance, technical direction, of course, Charles Wigan, and our associate producer and screener tonight, John Wyrick. Thank you, John. Don't forget philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, for all your Phil Hendry Show comedy and satirical needs. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
Bud?
Yeah.
Last use of the guillotine, 1977.
Bullcrap.
Phil Hendry.